The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Okay, good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. Our guest this morning, along with being a Saratoga All-Star guest host, is Patrick Kane, who will be here shortly. And I'm glad you're with us on this Saturday, December 15th. December 22nd, we'll be having a great Christmas show with our guest, Tony Podlaski. And for those of you who don't know who Tony is, he's been on a few times before. He is the press box director at Saratoga Racetrack for the 6 weeks during the meet. And he's also an English professor at Hudson Valley Community College. And this weekend, he's grading papers for the end of the semester. And we'll be having lunch with him this afternoon along with a fellow security guard and the Times Union sports reporter, Tim Wilkins. And I'm looking forward to that because I haven't seen Tony or Tim since the meet ended on Labor Day. And it'll be a good time to get together and talk about what's been going on in our lives. And we have a lot of fun, so I'm anxious for that. It's the 15th of December today, my brother Mike's birthday, and he's the middle child, so he's a little younger than I am, and so he's probably 30, I think he turns 36, and he's about 18 months younger than me, so you can figure that time period out. Pat will be, as I said, be in a little while, so I'd like to talk about the Christmas season and what it means to me. It's a great time of the year for feeling good and preparing for Christmas Day, which is for Christians the birth of Jesus. And I hope every year, as I think everybody does, is that special feeling that you get for the holidays and Thanksgiving included up through the first of the year, the new year. Everyone has a feeling of, you know, being better to our fellow human beings and a time when you pass by people on the street, say hello, and gosh, they say hello back to you, which is unusual today. Usually people just bury their heads and don't say anything, which is a sad commentary on life today, I feel anyway. I always try and say hello to people that I walk by, and usually their heads are down and they keep on walking. I can remember as a kid going downtown in the city I grew up in, and usually Friday nights, everybody seemed to be out, and no matter what time of the year, it was a night like Broadway. You know, you saw everybody that you knew. I used to go downtown with my grandmother, and we'd walk down, and she'd take me into Woolworth's for hot chocolate, and she would have a cup of coffee. And it didn't matter what time of the year it was, winter, summer, fall, spring, we used to walk down. And just that feeling that you got and saying hello to her friends and my parents' friends, just good memories that you have growing up. And I think that's missing today in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives. They don't experience some of the same things that we did as children. And I think there's a lack of something there that they're not growing up with. And I personally feel like the time I grew up, the days that I grew up in, were a little bit happier times than today, only because of what's going on in the world. But it's kind of different. And for me, it's a little sad that things go, have to be that way. But that's life, and it's happening, and we should do our best to try and break that cycle and find warmth with our friends and our neighbors and even people that we don't know. Be kind, be outgoing with them, and hopefully you'll get that back in return. One of the things that I put up on my Facebook page was something that I really believe in, and it's a song by Bing Crosby from White Christmas, and it's Count Your Blessings instead of Sheep. And if anybody has YouTube or even the movie, listen to that song, and you can't help but get, I don't know, I always get a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, because I think that's what we have to do. We can't spend time worrying about things that we have no control over, and we really should count our blessings every day, because, there's always someone else. We think we have it hard, and there's always someone else that we have a caller, and I'll get to him in a second. There's always someone else that has less than we do, and growing up, even if we didn't have much, we had family, and a lot of people don't even have that. So we should count our blessings instead of sheep at night, and if we can't get to sleep, or every day, count our blessings and be thankful for what God provides for us. So we'll take this caller right now. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Rick.
How you doing?
Uncle Jack.
I know it. How are you?
Well, I miss her, but I'm okay.
Yeah, it's a tough time of the year.
I've had a lot of community support and family support.
Yep.
And Marie was a very, very special lady.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. And I just want to say that for those listening to us that hear Uncle Jack call on Saturdays, his wife, my aunt, passed away a couple weeks ago at the age of 93. And she was a special lady. But I will say one thing, that my aunt was 93, but my Uncle Jack is a spring chicken. So
she was the original cougar.
That's right. And but I will say that they both moved to Florida to be with family, and it's different not seeing them as much as we did back when they lived up here in Syracuse, the snow capital of New York. But you're in our thoughts and prayers all the time, and hopefully this is, like I say, a tough time of the year to be dealing with a loss, but you seem to be doing well.
I am. I've had a lot of support, and Marie was suffering a little bit before she died, so it's good that she's not suffering anymore. She's in good company.
Yep.
To hear you introduce the show by talking about your going somewhere with your grandmother. Do you mean Lucy?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, she was a special lady, too.
Yes, both her and my grandfather.
And you're right. People aren't as friendly as they used to be, but I think I'm working on something with people here. Our society was controlled by a lot of intelligent men over 200 years ago. They shaped the society, and I think we got to update a little bit.
Well, I do too.
So I think people will start working on it. We've got a lot of development, a lot of advancement and
yep.
And we've got to put that to work.
Well, we do. And I think we need to be a little more trusting of, you know, our fellow man. And we can break the cycle. We have to give it a chance, but
sure.
it's still there. I think people inherently want to be friendly and outgoing. And, you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, we tend to get depressed. And that's something that we just can't do anything about. So we should all try and be a little bit nicer to each other and get along and help each other out.
I agree. Keep the Christmas spirit going.
That's right. That's what we should do. And listen to that song by Bing Crosby and Count Our Blessings, because everyone thinks that they have it bad, but there's somebody always worse off than we are, and we may not have much, but what we have, some people don't have. So that's what we should do every day of the year, is count our blessings and, you know, thank God that He provides for us.
Well, it's good to hear you every Saturday, Rick. I enjoy it, and I feel in touch with the family again.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. And like I say, you know, you're doing pretty good, and I know you've got a big support system down there with family, and you know, I'm glad of that. But you are missed up here in the state of New York.
Love to your family.
Okay, and same to yours, and have a Merry Christmas.
And the same to you, Rick.
Okay, Uncle Jack. All righty.
Bye.
Bye bye. Yeah, it's, you know, I was reading an article just before we went on the air, and it was about just what I was talking about, that we have good feelings towards other people during this time of the year, and, you know, everybody's happy with good spirits. But for a lot of people, Christmas and holidays are tough times of the year. They may not have family. They may be in an area. I mean, like my Uncle Jack that just called has a lot of family down where he lives, so he has a good support system. But a lot of people don't have family around, and they worry about, one of the things the article talked about was the pressure we put on ourselves as far as gifting to our family and friends. And that's something that we, I don't know. I think in the past, I'd say 50 years or so, we've been more concerned about what we get other people as far as gifts. And, you know, we have to get to the store, and you can go to the store every other day and feel that you still don't have enough. And I think we make too much of that. Again, as a child, I had a great family growing up, aunts and uncles, and we used to go over to each other's houses and enjoy Christmas cookies and hot chocolate and sit around and tell stories, and it was just a great time for family getting together and enjoying themselves. And I think that builds up character in people, that not only appreciate your family, but, you know, if you get that feeling with your family, imagine what the feeling you can get with friends and extended family. So we should think about and say a prayer for people who don't have the support system or family around, or are alone because of certain reasons, and maybe reach out to them in some small way. Anything is appreciated. I mean, if you make Christmas cookies, make up three or four that extra that you know, maybe some people that are by themselves that would like a little visit, and you bringing a little gift like that may remind them of the times when they used to do that, and they may be elderly now and can't do it. But any little thing we can do is appreciated by people, and I would hope that there are many people out there that do things like that. And if you don't know somebody that is alone, or you know, you don't feel that a visit is necessary, visit a nursing home. Bring some joy to a nursing home, and there's a lot of people in there that are lonely, and their family may not live around here or where you are, and just bring that sense of holiday cheer to them. Excuse me. I think you'd be surprised on what return you get back. And so that's my little Christmas message a week early. Again, our Christmas show will be next week, but Pat has just come in on his sleigh, and you left the reindeer outside, Pat?
I did, yeah, and the elves are.
Okay, so the reindeer are outside, and Pat came in.
Why do you have this mistletoe hanging in the doorway here? You're here right by yourself, aren't you?
You know, you came in too late. I was ready to jump on you and give you a big a big one. But anyway, and so what's going on with you?
Not too much. The normal stuff.
I know.
Hey, I got to tell you a quick story, though. It has nothing to do with probably anything anybody really cares about. There's a local businessman here in town, and I won't tell you his name because it's not important and probably doesn't want me to tell it on the radio anyways. But a normal, everyday guy. Day before yesterday, I was in New York City on business, and I come up out of Penn Station, which is, you know, of course, near Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
Pouring rain, dismal, you know, everybody's kind of hustling along to try to figure out where they're going and how to get there and whatnot. I look in there and I go, geez, that guy looks just like my friend Jeff. And, you know, I'm walking along. As I get a little closer, it was my friend Jeff. And I said, what are you doing down here? He goes, what are you doing down here? I'm like, and you think, you know, there's 8 million people, I think, live in New York City.
Yeah.
And I'm sure many millions come in and out of there every day to do business, obviously. And what, you're going to bump into a guy from Saratoga Springs?
I know.
Literally. And he was on the other side. He took the same train down.
I'll be darned.
But it's amazing how as far away New York is, but how close it really is.
Well, I think I know who you're referring to, because he had a Facebook posting about the time he was having down New York. If it's the same one.
Might be.
That I'm thinking of. And he loved New York, and they had such a great time down there. And it is a magical place this time of the year.
Oh, especially, yeah.
But, you know, you can go anywhere.
Anywhere.
And I remember going to Florida when I was younger and meeting people down there from the area. You know, I grew up in Gloversville and when I was a kid, and you know, I still live down there. I went to Florida, and there were people that were from the area, maybe Gloversville or Johnstown or Mayfield or whatever, that knew somebody that you knew. And, you know, it's a small world.
Oh,
it really is.
Well, you know, and you go to a place like that, you could be in Gloversville, Amsterdam for 2 years and not see that person.
Exactly.
You could be in Barbados and you're running, and they're, you know, they're staying in the same hotel you are. I mean,
that's
what's
right.
What's it all about? I don't know.
But. Well, you know what? That's why, I don't know. It for me, it goes back to that. I don't know why, but, you know, I heard the song on the radio, and then I had to download it last night, Bing Crosby's Count Your Blessings.
Oh, sure.
Because you do something like that, you don't know why, but, you know, it's a blessing to see somebody away from home,
yeah.
And, you know, they're just little things like that, yeah. that we take for granted, but in the scheme of things, yeah. It's all worked out for us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it is, and we're so, you know, Saratoga, from a location perspective, we are so close but far enough away that you treat New York or Boston or Montreal or whatever as a special entity.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure people go in and out many times, and I'm just a spot user, I guess, but
right.
You sit back and you think about it. I grew up around here as well, and you sit there and you think, I remember my mom taking me down to the circus in New York, and not often, but
right.
Every once in a while, we have the train system or a bus or whatever, and yeah, you could drive it. I personally wouldn't drive into New York.
I wouldn't, you know, either.
But you can,
yeah,
obviously. But it is. It's just a great spot to, you know, the airport in Albany. People might say it's a little small. Not me. I've been traveling in and out of that for 30 years,
right.
And it works just fine.
Now, what train do you take down?
The Amtrak.
From here?
No, I take it from Rensselaer.
Oh,
okay. The schedule here works, but it's quite a bit. It's a very small amount of trains and a longer wait time.
Yeah, now, see, we went to a Yankee game, a couple friends and myself, and we drove from down to Poughkeepsie and took the Metro North into Yankee Stadium. It drops you off right by Yankee Stadium, and I mean, like you say, there's really no place we can't get to without having to drive.
Right.
You know, I've driven to Canada before, and that's kind of like the only place that, and I don't even know about now, it's such a big city, but I would never even think about going past Poughkeepsie down to New York City. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, I've driven in. Whatever. Well, you didn't. Yeah. I didn't. You don't want me on here telling you the little things I've been doing this week. But it is a pretty interesting week as we're all getting ready for buying packages, friends and family, or sending things off and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you do have to, as you said, step back and say we're very fortunate to have.
Oh, we are. And you had made a comment last night that you have to go and purchase your Christmas tree
today. I'll leave right over. Go to Bob's.
And I happen to read the newspaper today. I get it every day, so I read it before I go to work in the morning, and because it's only probably like 8 pages. But there's 3 Christmas farms that have sold out of Christmas trees already.
Really?
Bob's wasn't one of them.
Oh, good.
But 3 large Christmas tree farms had to stop doing pre-cutting last weekend, or cutting down your own. And today was the last day that they were selling cut Christmas trees. They said that the increase this year in real trees was really unplanned for because of the last 15 years of lower sales, more artificial trees. And I kind of, myself, I always look at, I don't know, maybe the positive things, and that people have some extra spending money this year because of the economy. And I mean, it's always nice to have a real tree.
Sure.
But most people figure, well, why spend $50 or $60 on a real tree when I can have an artificial one and keep it for years? So I think this year a lot of people are saying, I want to go back to a real tree this year. I think it's a lot nicer. The house smells nicer. Because it's surprising that they're sold out.
Oh, really. It surprises me. Or they're obviously, as I was heading down the highway the other day, and I see 2 18-wheelers going by me with
Christmas trees
in there.
Probably from Canada.
Yeah.
I know when I sold Christmas trees in Gloversville, when I had the garden center, we used to order our Christmas trees and they would come down from Canada. But the only thing about that, which we take for granted around here because we can get a freshly cut Christmas tree, is that they cut their trees in September and they put them in rivers. So that they soak up the water so that they last longer, and then they bag them up in that netting and then they ship out like a little before Thanksgiving, because the day after Thanksgiving people are starting to buy them. Well, the only problem with that is 1 year we were selling trees, Jack, who was my partner, and I and myself, and had this beautiful blue spruce that I was going to show. I can't even think about it without laughing. Was going to show this couple that came to buy it. And I held the thing up, and I just tapped it on the ground a little bit, and all the needles fell off.
And you can see that happen.
The people are standing there looking at me like, what am I trying to sell them, So I said, So I said, well, maybe we better come over to, like, the Furs or something, And but they ended up buying a tree, but, boy, I'll tell you, that was the most embarrassing moment I ever had as a salesperson because every single needle.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
It'd be interesting. We normally go much earlier and get, like last week or maybe the week before, but we've just been busy. We traveled a little bit, because I called in on one of your shows.
I can't believe that. You know,
it's picked up the radio station right down in Barbados. They must have a big antenna up on the roof.
That's neat. That's neat. Well, it's good. I was really surprised when you called that day because I happened to know you were down there. Yeah. And
I'm not trying to tell. I'm not working for anybody in Barbados. But if you get a chance. Wonderful, wonderful people. Just great people.
Really?
I would say that obviously an island in the Caribbean is beautiful. It's got clear water and whatnot. But there's a lot of Caribbean islands that I wouldn't go for safety reasons and health reasons. But Barbados is not one of them. I think it's a wonderful spot. 92% literacy rate there.
Really?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it is good.
It's more than the United States.
Yeah.
But it's only 21 miles long, 14 miles wide. You know, he said, though, that McDonald's couldn't survive there because they're not a beef-eating culture.
Right.
It's nothing religious or anything because they have a lot of chicken.
Oh, chicken.
So McDonald's opened up and it failed. I mean, tell me where McDonald's ever fails. Well, Barbados is one spot that fails. But they have so much, they love so much chicken and fish that they now, where all the McDonald's, where they have this thing called Chiquette is the McDonald's to Barbados.
Now, are the chickens running around?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I know down in Key West, too, there's like chickens all over the place. Yeah. And it just boggles my mind to think about that, you know?
Well, yeah. they're not everywhere, of course. But, I mean, we took a car ride around the island to see what the place is like. And, yeah, you'll go by... homes and then half a dozen chickens out kind of wandering around. But you figure between the eggs, between occasionally,
having a roasted chicken.
And it's not like it's a really congested island.
Sure.
A lot of agricultural areas, but.
Really? Yeah. And that small of an island? There's a lot of. Well,
Activity is down by the water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but the friend of mine who goes to Key West every year, their chickens are all over the place. I mean, on the street. He said, it's like waking up to an alarm clock whenever they want to go off, you know.
Yeah.
But, that's interesting. When I was freshly out of high school.
About
1910, because we had to get there by boat.
Yeah.
A bunch of waitresses and I happened to be a busboy going into bartending down there wanted to go to a place called Aruba. Now at that time Aruba was not developed and the prices to go there.
Christopher Columbus was still. Did you ride?
No, Ponce de León. Just visited.
Yeah.
But it was just starting to develop, and you could go down there for nothing. I mean, they were begging people to come down, and we didn't go.
Yeah.
And now, of course, it's
very popular.
Very popular and probably expensive. And you drove around the Bahamas, right?
No, this is Barbados.
Barbados. Yeah. All right. How many traffic lights did you hit?
Not many, because, first of all, I didn't drive because they drive on the other side of the road because until 52 years ago, they were a British colony.
Okay.
And there's no way I'm going to try to learn to drive a car. And, I mean, I could do it in maybe a more developed country.
A lot of accidents. Americans have a lot of accidents
in
countries
it really
like that.
Is. I have my 17-year-old daughter with us, and she had she's a driver.
Is
and
she
I said
now?
To her, how do you feel about when she said, I'm nervous because I want to go the other way. And,
yeah.
You do that. But no, it was interesting. But there's not a lot of
traffic.
Street signs either. So
really?
So what you might think, well, I can find my way around. Well, I don't think you're going to because many times as you get a little further out of any of the port cities, they just have a pole with a bunch of wooden arrows pointing in one direction, like you remember you see on MASH.
Oh yeah,
this way to Saigon, right. That way to San Francisco.
Yep.
That was how they said which way to go. Well, you're not finding that on a map. You're certainly not going to find it on your GPS.
See, when I was younger and I went to the Midwest, the Hakawi Indians were running. The area that I was at and the directions they had was, all right, you go down a mile and take a right at the rock that looks like a bear and go another half a mile and take a left at the bear that looks like a rock. But the idiot bear kept moving, so you could be way out of the way. But yeah. Hey, those were the days.
That's right. But interestingly enough, we were staying at a hotel that overlooked it was out on a point. So on one side, it was kind of like the open ocean. On the other side of the hotel, it was kind of like a little bay. It was quite picturesque, a nice place and whatnot. But I looked out my window one morning, and I said to my wife, that looks like it's a horse in the ocean. And it was far enough out that, you know, you could see that it, you know, it was a horse, in fact. Not necessarily the ones in the water, but the ones on the beach you could.
Okay.
So there's a little track. It certainly has nothing in comparison to our track, but it runs every other Saturday. So, of course, the hot walkers are taking the horses that are out running that morning, and they literally take them into the ocean. Well. And they take them out, 15, 20 feet past where they can no longer touch.
Well, it's great exercise.
Well, they just great came from the track running.
But, yeah.
You know, you'd think of immersing an animal that's been probably overheated because it's about 85 degrees as
right.
well. So they're taking a hot horse and running them into the ocean. But I stopped and asked one of the guys because every morning there's about 15 horses that literally cross the beach that everybody swims on, goes off into the ocean, literally goes around a few boats that are moored out into the ocean,
wow.
goes around it and comes back.
Well, if you notice when you go to the track after a race, they hose the horses down
sure.
to cool them down. So, and being in the water like that is probably having them work off the adrenaline
yeah.
from the races and probably helps their muscles relax too
yeah.
because swimming's the best form of exercise. They say it's
yeah.
low impact.
It was you just here you see these beautifully white sand beaches, water that you can see all the way to the bottom,
and there's horses
you know. And they had some kid with a pail, of course, and a shovel.
Oh yeah,
if the horses had to do some droppings along
sure.
the beach. But it was just, you know, when I think of Saratoga and I think of Barbados, obviously the horses, I didn't see Mary Lou Whitney wasn't down there with her horses or
no.
different
style kinds
of horse.
Yeah, different
but,
styles.
It was kind of fun to see that those horses out there, but never thought in a million years you'd just see them swimming in the ocean.
Right. Well, where is it in Myrtle Beach where they have the wild horses?
That's Chincoteague.
Chincoteague.
Assateague and Chincoteague.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do anything with
right.
them. They're protected.
Right.
Although I heard that quite a few had passed away with the hurricane that came up the coast. Yeah. Although they're pretty smart animals in the fact that they can tell when the weather is going to get bad, and there's a place that they go to. I don't know where it is, but there's a place where they go that's kind of sheltered, and they know this. And what are you going to do?
There was a book, as you mentioned, it was a book when I was a kid. It was called Misty of Chincoteague, I think it was. And it was required reading, but it was about 4 pages. But it was, and then we actually, you know, one of our family trips, we went down there to see them.
See, you probably couldn't get that book in today's kids' class or have your parents read it. It's like Christmas songs. You know, there's so many you can't sing anymore, like
right.
Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah.
Because that's insensitive to Frosty the Snow Woman.
Oh,
and,
there you
oh yeah. And Rudolph, because he was a bully.
Okay.
Yeah, he led the sleigh. What were some of the other ones? There were some that were really funny. Make the Yuletide merry and gay.
Yep.
We can't say that anymore because we have to be gender neutral.
Okay.
And what were some of the other?
Some radio station outlawed "Baby It's Cold Out."
Yeah. "Baby It's Cold Outside."
They kind
because
of recanted that though. They're back. They've kind of changed their thought process.
Yeah, and the other one was "I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus" because if Daddy could see him, Daddy's up sleeping and Mommy's making out with Santa Claus, so that can damage a child's
psyche.
Psyche about Mommy fooling around. So there's a bunch of Christmas carols. It was funny on Facebook. Someone, of course it was a joke, but they put out, and it was rather humorous, but so goes the days of our lives.
Did you happen to see, speaking of Facebook, did you see the one where it said, you know, things that were said at the kitchen table 25 years ago that are said today.
Yeah.
I mean, the top one was, I'm going to wash your, stop using that word, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap.
Right.
And the other one, the more modern approach was, we really prefer you not using those kinds of
words.
That's
right. Well, I sent that out.
Oh,
I shared that. I shared it because it was sent to me. And the other one was, stop crying or I'll give you something to cry about.
I sent it off to my sister and I said, you know, we grew up on a street called Meadow Lane. I said, this all came from the one Meadow Lane where we grew up.
Everybody
said it.
What was it? You know, if you don't eat everything on your plate, your parents, okay, that's fine. You know, eat only as much as you can. And when I was a kid, they, don't eat everything on your plate. I'm coming over and cram it down your throat.
Yeah.
Or you always heard there's poor people in China that don't even have this.
Yeah, well, it's I love the one where take your bike and you have to be home before it's dark.
But yeah.
Now it's you almost put a GPS on your kid who if he leaves the yard.
Yeah, they don't even want you out on your bike. You know? It's funny. I was talking with my Uncle Jack had called earlier. And it's funny that the things you used to do as a kid, kids miss out on now. And I look back at just these crazy sayings, and you look back now, and they were funnier than heck. I mean, with the soap, I tell you.
Well, how many times did you get spanked?
How many times did I get spanked?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell you.
Yeah. but you know, I love my parents to death. But you sit there and you're thinking, today... By today's standards,
you'd be arrested.
You'd be arrested.
You would be.
They weren't beating us by any means, but you know, you were allowed to
discipline. It was spare the rod and spoil the child. But matter of fact, when you went to school, if you went to Catholic school, the nuns used to crack you over the hands. Today, if they even drew their ruler out, they'd be arrested.
Yeah.
I mean. But, you know, I look back now, and we certainly weren't damaged because of that.
You were.
But there's a few of us that were damaged. But I probably would have been damaged even without that.
That's right.
But there's some things going on in the city that Nancy Muldoon was on last Saturday, and we talked about some of the things that are going on in Saratoga they're making us look like a mini New York in the respect that I can never remember, and I've only been here since 86, but I can never remember turning every corner and having a street ripped up. And like you go down to New York and, you know, I mean, almost every street they're working on.
Yeah.
And I tell you, it is amazing here.
Well, you know, you and I've had this conversation offline. You know, with the amount of money that they're suggesting that we spend on City Hall, and no money's being spent on infrastructure, but you really are spending money on infrastructure because it's repairing,
right?
Rather than
replacing.
But you're absolutely right. I sound like a broken record. I mean, this is getting ridiculous, the kind of money. But there's no way for the average guy to understand what goes on. Because they're busy. I was at a Christmas party last night, and every time I get, you know, they're all like, so tell me what's going on with the charter, what's on this and that, or, you know, so because you kind of get labeled for certain things.
Right.
But when you turn on that conversation with people, the next thing you know, they're all like, geez, they didn't pick up my leaves for 5 weeks. Then they complained it was the snow, but they sat out there for 5 weeks before it snowed. How come we're having to wait that long? And you're right, the inefficiencies of a city, the poor planning of the city, comes back very visually, very quickly, when you see leaves in the snowbank, or when you see, at one point, there was four streets downtown that were closed off. For what reasons, I don't know,
right.
But it appeared that they were doing repair work, and certainly repair work's hard to predict, but preventive maintenance is pretty easy to do.
Right. And
but
see,
no.
The thing is, we're still a small city. We're not a large city.
And you hear the same excuses over and over again. You're like, come on, guys. Like you said, it's like these are things that you're supposed to do. Let's not applaud somebody for picking up leaves.
Yeah.
That's what they're supposed to do. But to take 5 weeks, come on.
Well, what do you do? The way I look at it is, we have hardworking DPW employees. You know, I blame this on the top for not knowing how to schedule them out. And that's in any business. If your top people don't know how to schedule employees, you have a lot of wasted time and a lot of wasted money. But my thing is, if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing at certain times of the year, what the heck are they doing?
Well, yeah, I talked to somebody who worked in DPW a while ago, and I said, does this always happen? What about this early snow? He goes, they're not picking up leaves when they start falling. They just want to go whenever they pick them up. And he said the exact same thing. The guys on the trucks, they do what they're told.
Sure.
But the people who are doing the telling aren't necessarily doing that. But I got a couple of things I want to bring up. I've been sparring back and forth. That's probably the better term than volleying back and forth with DPW regarding this big project on Nelson Avenue over by the track.
Yeah.
They're doing this drainage project, and they've been doing it for 15 years. So this is nothing new. They're just doing whenever they can and have some money, or, you know, there's obviously money in the budget for that drainage project, and has since when the McTighes were there.
Yeah.
So I'm out picking up the campaign signs and from the last charter vote, and I run into a guy, and I'm standing there talking to him about this project right there in front of, you know, the restaurant, the Horseshoe?
Yes.
So they're doing a project, and the Horseshoe's doing it right. They went to the planning board, they did all their things, so this guy tells me that the city's going to pick up the tab for curbing, sidewalks, and all the stuff. So I got the information about the notice of decision from the planning board like 3 or 4 years ago that said you can do what you're going to suggest, which is what happens many times, but we want you to do this, this, and this for that approval. Generally, it's sidewalks or street lights or trees, sure, or whatever. So the notice of decision to the Horseshoe, just like the planning board always does, is here's what we have agreed to, and you're agreeing to that and whatnot. The fellow from DPW tells me, oh, no, we're going to give him a break. We're going to take care of it for him. And I said, excuse me? And he said, yeah, we're just going to give the owner a break. I said, wait a minute. We just spent $30,000 on my street putting granite curbing in. No one expected it for free. We all knew that we had to pay for it, which is fine. But if we, you know what I mean? Here's a business that has a judge or has an agreement with the city,
right,
that they're going to pay for it. Instead, the city's like, oh, no, we'll pay for it.
Well, what? That's kind of a bad precedent setting.
In my mind, it's the misuse of public funds.
Right.
There's no way that DPW should pick up the cost for that. Now, granted, if you've got a program and people sign up for it, but you and I would have to pay for all that.
Right.
You know?
Like an urban renewal type of thing, and you fall within that area.
I sent a note off to them. I said, what's the deal? How do you guys get to overrule the planning board, first of all? Yeah, I know you're a commissioner, but that's why the separation of powers here is planning board. That's what they do. You're supposed to do the maintenance side. And you get, we really don't plant trees under power lines. Really? Is that your answer? Because, we had trees. We paid for some trees to come in under power, but we bought trees that don't grow to the 25-foot mark.
Right.
That's what people do outside of Saratoga Springs. And they also said, we're not going to do the streetlights because there's no long-term maintenance plan. What about the 1,000 other lights you see up and down Union Avenue all over the city?
Oh, yeah.
But it's because this guy, obviously must have some connections in DPW. So the commissioner's going to waive all that. And I'm sorry, but that is, in my mind, a misuse of public funds. And why should the city pick up that $30,000, $40,000 that project is going to cost the city to operate?
Right.
Why do we do that? And when, we're going to bond money to fix City Hall, but we're going to give away money to, a property owner that is in total agreement already that he or she was going to pay for it.
Right.
Totally. Just, well, this is the kind of stuff you get that's maddening because who knows about this stuff?
Right.
And I told a story last night at this party with some people, and they're like, how do we get to know about this?
You don't.
First of all, your newspaper struggling to keep its doors open. But more importantly is, everything's kept in these little silos, and nobody had. But another form of government, you couldn't hide that stuff.
No.
You would not be able to hide it.
No.
Instead, we got Skip's son still getting chauffeured around.
Yeah.
It's nearly 11 months later.
Well, the
but it's hidden. All these kinds of things are hidden.
Right.
Until you see the barricades go up, and they're like, "Well, now I know what they're doing because they're fixing that street."
Sure.
Over there.
Well, the thing
total
is,
mismanagement.
And I think almost every charter vote in the past has always lost by 2-1 or 3-1, and last year changing the form lost by 10 votes. If it lose,
it's going back to court again. By the way.
Good, but what I'm saying is, I think people are getting a little more knowledgeable on what's going on when they're told when it's told by people on the outside that know what's going on.
Right.
Now, you were on the design review commission, and so you know a little bit more than the average citizen of steps that it takes for either something to be changed in a historic part of the city or historic building, and what goes on for someone that wants to put an addition on or whatever. It's mind-boggling that the city doesn't adhere to the decisions of these boards, because that's what they're supposed to do. Now, one of the things that bothers me, and you may say that that's changed and this is the way it is now, and you know, when they put new buildings up, the setbacks from the building, from the curb, I mean, when you walk on the sidewalk, you're barely out of the road. I mean, there is, I thought someone who worked for the city before, a good friend of ours, had told me that a sidewalk is supposed to be 4 by 4, 4 feet by 4 feet, and the area, the setback. And I tell you, you walk by some of these new buildings, and almost 1 foot is in the road.
It's called the transect zones. The city has what's called transect zones. And okay. If you look at West Avenue, it's a perfect example. So on West Avenue, you're trying to establish what a pedestrian-type zone would be. Okay. You're seeing it happen in Malta. Everybody wants to create a downtown-type environment where, you know, people walk from place to place to place. Now, obviously, they install the sidewalks, but the transect zones are required. The requirements about the facade of the building can be no more than X feet away from the curb. And you're right. But now with the cost of buildings, they can only get per square foot, you know, onto that plot of land. So they're going to maximize it, not only maximize it going up, but maximize it wide and as close to the road. Now, I'm not sure. Like, I remember years ago walking in front of that coffee shop one winter day, and the guys came by with a snowplow. The sidewalk that I was just on, that I had just gotten off of, was covered because the snowplow was pushing the snow at such a pace. It really literally cost like a big wave went.
Sure.
Now, yeah, we all get it. Things are changing like that. But, It's an interesting thing, and I think we should look back in time rather than to continue to move forward and say, was that kind of zoning or planning correct? And if so, great, let's do more of it, because it accomplished what we kind of set out to do. However, if it isn't doing that or is causing a significant problem, then you
change it.
And the reason was, Rick, they wanted to bring the buildings out so you saw the building and the parking was behind it. And let's hide the cars, you know, and so the streetscape looks more.
You're right. I just wondered what the background of that was, you know, but I can understand that. And like you say, they are trying to create more of a downtown atmosphere in other parts of the city.
Right.
And West Avenue is a good one. I mean, there's. That's been transformed over the years. There's many stores, there's restaurants, and there's coffee shops, and you want people to get there and use it.
Right.
And so I want to get to City Hall for a second. they have not released figures. First of all, I heard a story that I don't know if it's true or not, but City Hall's about two blocks away from the fire department. And we had a fire in our city hall. Lightning struck the gutter, traveled down. Most of the damage was water, water damage. But it took 10 minutes for the fire department to get there. And someone said that it was too bad that they were that close.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, having, as you said, on land use boards, I happened to be with a friend of mine yesterday who is on one of the land use boards, and they have toured what is now City Hall being gutted. And I asked him, I said, you know, and this guy's really smart construction professional. And he said, oh, no, you know, it isn't as, first of all, it isn't as bad as it sounds. Second of all, they're just taking stuff out because they want to change things. And because I'm, you know, I've gotten a lot of criticism from one of our favorite bloggers out there about that. Because I think this is the amount of money they're talking about now, because it started out at 7, then it was 10, 11, at least in the Gazette, it said 11.7 or something like that. And I said, I'm looking at what's covered in 11.7, and the little things that at the bottom are say not included. I said, you're going to spend now 15. If you're going to spend 11 or 12 on it under what you think you're doing, and the other things, those little small details at the end are not included, you're going to spend $15 million on a building that, I love the building, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
$15 million is a lot of money.
Sure.
To spend on an existing structure.
Over a 100-year-old city,
but they're gutting everything. They tried to take down the two staircases in the front of the building, and one of the land use boards said, no, you're not doing that. That's not, it's going to mess their planning up. But to give you an example of this, you know, the poor lack of information that's out there. I mean, this happened in August. That's a long time ago,
right?
In city business type stuff, RFPs are still out, so there is no way for them to know what it is. I get on the mailing list for RFPs, so I was reading that the RFPs that are out that are not in any of these proposed expenses are the lead abatement for the windows and lead paint in the building, which lead didn't come out of paint until 1987.
Right.
So you know there's a heck of a lot of lead paint in there. All the asbestos that's in there, again, a product that people used a long time ago. But when a public building like that goes under that kind of scrutiny, which it should, it's an enormous expense. Not a little expense, it's an enormous. And when that's not included in your so-called budget right now, get ready, because it's going to add that's probably going to be one of the more significant. Your demo cost, asbestos removal, and your lead paint abatement is going to cost a fortune.
Well, you know yourself. I mean, you know, they used to use asbestos in the walls and the ceilings, but even...
The flooring material has a lot of asbestos.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, in schools and businesses back, up until 84, they had a commercial grade of tile, floor tiles, like linoleum.
Sure.
You couldn't destroy them. There's still floors now that if you take care, wash and wax them, they look almost new.
Right.
And that was because of the grade of tile. But that contained asbestos. So,
and all this stuff. I mean, they're moving the planning department up to the third floor where the old, what is now called the law library, which it's picturesque. It's gorgeous up there. You have the third floor, one of the most prominent buildings in downtown. The views are spectacular. But if you look back in time, we had a bell in what was the bell tower up there, above there. We took the bell out, had to take the bell out because the bell was too heavy. It was causing the building to start to fall in on itself. Pulled the bell out. Of course, the bell tower came down with it. And now we're taking all of those file cabinets, and now we're going to have to reinforce the floors up there because we're taking the place that's got the most weight, which is the planning department, which has tons of file cabinets.
Yeah, those huge.
Well, now we're going to take them up to the third floor. Oh, by the way, that same third floor that couldn't support the bell tower.
Yeah.
But now we're going to have to re-engineer the floor to hold all the file cabinets so we can move it up there. And that's the most heavily trafficked place in City Hall.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of stuff that we're not repairing, we're remodeling. Well, you're insured to repair, unfortunately, as much as I'd love to do some of these things, but you wouldn't do it at your home.
Right.
You had a fire at your house and your insurance company came in and said, this is what we're going to give you. You might say, well, now's my time to maybe buy a new stove, but you're not going to spend three times what the insurance company gives you, especially when it's not your money.
Is that why the commissioner of DPW, since probably 15 years, 10 years ago, or goes up to the top floor and gets on the roof and has a bell and he dings the bell at noontime 12 times?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's still done by the Episcopal Church, I think, the bells ring in. That was kind of neat. That was a standard practice back.
Well, it was an accident, of course, to have this lightning strike, and it certainly caused a lot of water damage, fire damage.
Right.
But, when you start, anytime you do a remodel, you start discovering things that you didn't know. But we've been putting Band-Aids, and we spent almost $2 million just in public safety over the last few years, or maybe even more than that now that I think about it. And, of course, some of it's still relevant because the police department didn't really get hit.
Right.
But you know, we never did anything about the court system. All so now everybody's now moving. It's like musical chairs. You know, Skip Scirocco's going to come out of the basement. He's going to go over where the city engineer is. Now the city engineer's got to move up to the third floor.
Sure.
You know, and now Michelle Madigan gets her $750,000 bathroom.
Right.
Tucked into this $15 million
remodel. Not transparent.
And, you know, it's
document.
You know, and they do know, like, public safety, this and that. And it's just unfortunate that this kind of money is going to be spent when, if you look at the roads, the sewer lines, the water pressure, the fire hydrants, that's the stuff that really needs to have a significant investment in. And we just keep ignoring it. Somebody's going to get hurt, Rick. Somebody's going to get hurt because the firefighters already struggle to get find a fire hydrant that works in this city.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Well, not only that, but we give up income. Like we had talked about this before, the Time Warner, Spectrum now, pays the city X amount of
$560,000.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not the amount, but it's standard in every
right.
city that they receive money from the cable company. But they give that income up for a 30-year deal.
60-year. No, it's a 30 and a 30. So it's almost
60-year deal that they make nothing on. And
it's scary how bad that deal is.
I know. And you say, well, a lot of people say, well, only in Saratoga.
Yeah.
Well, that's not what you want to be known for.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be known for dummy deals.
I thought you were going to say the water connection fees as well.
Oh, we
talked about that.
That's millions
of dollars. It's all political.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, it's not singling out one person. It's just a bad practice.
Right.
I mean, most cities are moving in the other direction. It's like that's an important revenue stream. Instead, we're like, no, we're good with that.
Well, the thing that I was upset about when the commissioner eliminated that, and for those of you who don't know, the city used to charge a water hookup fee for new building, and it was, you know, so they could hook up into the water system, and the city would charge the contractor or the homeowner for that. Something went on where a contractor was forgiven $1 million hookup fee for a mini city that he created, which is nice. Don't get me wrong, but then he decided to eliminate the water hookup fee, which was supposed to be used for something else, but could have been targeted for infrastructure repair because we still have wooden sewer lines, so wooden pipes.
Yeah, yeah.
And he decided to eliminate that, and that would have been it was a source of income for a long time, and in just a flash, it was over.
Yeah.
And don't know.
I know I sound like a broken record, but so much happens without anyone knowing about it. And I'm not saying these people are deceitful, but they've been so accustomed to not being transparent and putting that information out there. And then when you send them a letter, they're I don't have to respond to you. What do you mean you don't have to respond? Of course you have to respond. That's what this is about.
Yeah.
But they treat you like you're harassing them because you bring an issue up. And then they don't address it. You don't ever hear back from them. You know,
no.
They got it.
Well, it's a foolish system. But listen, it's time to go and get Polka Magic on the air, the three best hours of radio. I want to thank you for coming in, Pat.
Certainly.
And next week is our Christmas show. I told you Tony Podlaski will be here, and hopefully we'll have some more guests that should be a lot of fun. And I just can't believe where the time's going.
Is there going to be eggnog?
We'll have eggnog here, and it'll all be donated by the people that want to come in and have a glass of eggnog. But you can't have anything in the eggnog. It'll be too early in the morning. So
Work at night. So
eggnog and gingerbread cookies.
There we go.
So you work at night. You work all the time. Hey, everybody out there, you have a great week. Don't get stressed out. Buy a bag of candy if you can't think of what to get somebody, instead of not being able to sleep at night worrying about it. It'll be 3 days before Christmas next Saturday, and I don't know where this year's gone to, but I'll try and figure it out. You have a great week, and stay healthy, and we'll see you next Saturday.